brief while, and that is to hear our brother talk about Jesus Christ, which I know is the love of his heart. In our conversations, we've traveled a couple times up north. I enjoyed our conversations with him and his zeal for serving of God. So at this time, I will give you our brother, our speaker, Brother Jose.
Good evening. I welcome to each of you to the house of the Lord this day, this night. It is a pleasure to be here. And I say it with gladness in my heart, knowing that for that specific reason, God has called me to this office. And the song that we just sing right now, it reminds us a little bit that anything in this world can discourage you. But it says in this second line here, it says, never be discouraged if along our way disappointment meet us, tempting us to stray. And I think about those things, and one of the song service, the same song, it kind of encouraged me to bring this task, to this message that God has put in my heart. And I can see it, and we can see it in our daily life, that we have, we don't have a life that is cream and cookies. We all suffer, we all have something going on in our life. And this song, it says, they never be discouraged, trust the Father's word. And that's what we hear, that's what we are here tonight to hear. My advice is that as you hear these words and you put into work in your heart and in your daily life, perhaps God will help you to come out of the whatever it is that's bringing you down. I know that going through life is not easy, and especially the when we were, I'm talking about me, perhaps, when I was in the world, I never thought about problems. I never had so many things that would bring me down until I got to know Christ. For whatever reason, it's just like those things were hiding behind all these perhaps the materialism, happiness, parties, or other things that kind of blind you. They don't let you see as far as when you change your life. And I believe that is so true. And but now that God opened my eyes and I got to see the darkness, perhaps there is behind all the happiness that this world offers you. But you get to see the truth. What is the truth? And maybe that's why he says, you know, the truth will make you free. We were not free. We were bondage, slaves to sin. But of course, you don't think about that. You don't think about that when you are in the when you are into the stuff, you know, and to whatever you do, and drugs, drinking, or things like that. They don't need to think that far, and so you are blind, and we are slaves to sin. But walking with Christ is not easy, and we repeat that over and over behind the pulpit. And maybe, perhaps, you know, there's things that discourage us and things that encourage us. God encourages. So when you feel discouraged, you come to Him in prayer, and you feel that comforting, the warming feeling of His love, of His Holy Spirit be with you. I know the Holy Spirit is here with us, because where there's two or three, He says that He is in the midst. So I truly believe that. But even that, we're going to have challenges. We're going to have challenges. And how are we going to work through that? Other people, I have a new nickname in my work. I'm the church boy, because I'm always reading my scriptures in work. And so now they call me church boy. And I'm surrounded with people that perhaps you might feel a little bit intimidated when you're right next to them. But it's still, I do my best to show a good example, to show love. And if they offended me, I always try to find another way to pretend that I didn't hear that, or that I didn't understand those words that they speak around me. And some of them, they know who I am and what I do, and they do respect that. But it's very little, very small. Not everybody do that. My sermon today is about never be discouraged and to trust in God. We'll see how long will take me. Like Brother Ken says this morning, it's always you will always be nervous behind the pulpit, but I trust in the Lord that He will guide me in my comments today. There's sometimes, there's moments in life when we feel like you want to quit. Working every day and having the responsibility of God. And sometimes sometimes it can bring you down. Because you either focus on work, and you kinda not so much in your scriptures. And I feel sometimes discouraged about that. But I remember the promise that I make to Him when I accept the calling. From the beginning, when I accept to walk into the waters of baptism, I made a promise. And that promise says that to follow Him to the end and to endure to the end. But even that, through my days, through my weeks, I feel that feeling. But that's when we should find encouragement in the scriptures. That's when we should call in His name. That's when we should come to Him. Because Other than that, I believe that the enemy is working hard on you. And he will lead us in a different path. The sons of Lehi, you see what happened in his dream he saw, and he wanted his family to follow him and to go to where he was. But the things of the world lead his family to a different path, to do those good, evil things of the world. And all those examples, we see them through the scriptures. But we have a God that is stronger than that. I was reading in the books of Chronicles when they threw the words that the Israelites had with all those groups that were always against God, and even some of the kings were kind of made them to do things that were against the Lord, and the prophets were told them, you're doing this that is not pleasing the Lord, and for that you're going to have to pay. So you read all that in the Chronicles and the Book of Kings, and you realize that, you know, God has a payment for us one way or another. And so should we be afraid of him? I would say yes. I would say yes. But our encourage tonight is to not let those things take over your life, over your feelings. There's more things up there, and God will help us to go through it. I'm going to read real quick in Matthew 11. I'm going to read from verse 25 to 30. Matthew 11, 25 to 30. And it says, in that time, Jesus speaking. In that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them into babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son, but the Father, neither know any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal it to him. Come unto me, all ye that have labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said that when we're going through that, we should call upon his name and come to him. Come to him. Even sometimes you don't feel like it. You don't feel like calling upon his name because you feel ashamed of those things that maybe you have done. But we have those promises, and we should not let those things bring us down. In the book of First Nephi, we see how our brother Lehi was kicked out from where he was telling the people the sins that they were making to turn back from the sins, from the iniquity, and how he was thrown out, and maybe he was discouraged at that time because nobody would listen to him. And that's the responsibility we have today. And you know, I see this this world, how it is, and where I work, and how people behave. It's just out of control. But Lehi went and trying to tell the people that the things they were doing, telling them that the things they were doing, they were wrong. They were bad. First Nephi, chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "And it came to pass that the Jews did mock him because of the things which he testified of them." How did he testify those things they were doing? God revealed it to him, but that's the thing they didn't understand. "For he truly testified of their wickedness and their abominations." That's how it is today. That's how it is today. Too many abominations going on, so many secret combinations up there the going out around the world and doing their things behind in the darkness, thinking that that's evil. That's just evil. I mean, there's so much going on up there that we have no idea. And how can God call us to go do his work? It's hard. But you know what? That time is here. That time is now. We have to do what our brother Lehi did here. Moses, another example, Moses was afraid to go into Egypt. You know, God called him and for a very specific thing to do, to bring his people out of Egypt. That's another example that we have. In Exodus 3, 9 to 10, chapter 3, verse 9 to 10. "And now therefore, behold the cry of the children." This is God talking to Moses. "Children of Israel is come into me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." That was a huge responsibility that Moses, I cannot imagine what went through him, how he feel. But he told him, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is sending you to do these things." He asked him, what did he, they ask me, who's sending me? What should I say? Who sent me? What name? I am. I am that I am. Isn't it his name from the beginning? Christ says, "I am. I am the way, the only way." God from the beginning has been sending his people. We see it in the parable of the vineyard when he sent his workers and they get killed, and even into the end he sent his son. And it gets killed also. There's something that we had to deal with, that, but not. Don't be discouraged. God is with us. Jonah. I was thinking about Jonah the other day. Last Sunday, or I believe Brother Steve Campbell talked a lot about that. But I thought about it. I compare these days to those days. And Nineveh, God sent Jonah, talked to him. And what did he do? He got scared also, and he ran away. He ran away, trying to hide from God. Who's going to listen to me? How can I go to that big city and speak these things? Who knows what they're going to do to me? I think that myself today. When I first accepted the gospel, I was very joyful, and I still am. And I know that's why the majority of my family don't even call me to say hi. But this last week, I text my brother, and he told me that pretty much he doesn't want to come and be part of this mission that I do to Nogales, Mexico, that I come to see my sister Esperanza, and I bring the good news to her once every other month. And my brother told me that he doesn't want to be part of it anymore. So that's just a little something that kind of makes me sad. I cannot imagine going to a whole city and speak those things that God has told me to say to them. All what is in here in the Book of Mormon and in the Bible is the same as he is speaking to them before. He is speaking us to today in this way. His gospels that have to go to the whole world. I'm going to read Jonah chapter 1:1-3. Now the word of the Lord came into Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against them, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarsus from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarsus. So he paid the fare there and went down into it. I found that can easily happen to any of us. And I don't blame anybody. All we can do is to pray for them. Because being in the narrow path, we'll run into so many stumble things that they will trip us up. But God told us to have love. He said, with love, you can do anything. We have to learn how to turn our other cheek when people offend you. And that's another thing that's not easy. There's a lot of people there that they say things that they might offend you, but you have to think about those words that God says, turn your other cheek. I remember when Christ was in the in front of the council at the Sanhedrin, and he took spit, slaps, and all kinds mistreated. He was so mistreated, he never say any bad word back to them. He didn't. He give us that example that we have to overcome everything with peace and love. I can tell you this, that for a man, that would be really hard to humble yourself and take any insult. It might fire you up and start punching people. But as we read what Christ has told us, we have to be that example. And just like Christ said nothing, perhaps we have to do that too also. In the 1 Corinthians the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we read about this love. Charity, suffering, long, and is kind, and is not envied, is not vaunted, not itself, is not puffed up. Do not behave in self assembly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, think no evil, rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Beareth all things, believe all things, and hope all things, and endure all things. Charity never fail or fail it, but whether there be prophesies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether they be acknowledged, it shall vanish away. That's a good example right there, that if we have love, we will rejoice in all things. And we will not hope in anything that will be against God's ways. When Christ died, he told us, pick up your cross and follow me. The cross in those days, I really don't know what it means. But it was a way of punish, it was a way of shame people, there was a way to, it was normal perhaps. But in those days, it was just something normal according to what we read. But what he means about pick up your cross and follow me, what does that mean? I read in Luke chapter 9:23-24, it says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. We must suffer. And we must be ashamed, just like him. But if we don't deny all those things and we take them as he there, we will inherit that eternal life, those promises that he has given to us. Pick up your cross every day. Sacrifice all those things that you like. Put all those things away. And just trying to keep our eyes in Christ. Not just, you know, like Peter, if you remember when Christ was in the sepulchre, then he thought that was it. That's enough. I mean, this is done. This is over. He went and went fishing. And he forgot about what Christ told him. And then the third day, the Son of Man will be arise. Will rise up in 3 days. But they forgot that. But even that, Peter, he was transformed. Even that he failed to Christ in those days. He cut somebody's ear. He denied Christ. And then he went fishing. But even that, God used him so much. And that is a responsibility today to us. That applies to each of us. In Luke 14, chapter 14, 25 to 27. And there went a great multitude with him. And he turned and said unto them, if any man comes to me and hath not and hate not his father and mother and wife, children and brethren, sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. We have to love our families. We have to show that love to them. Otherwise, how can you be a server? How can you be a follower of Christ if you don't even love your family? That's why he says, before you judge your brother, take the stump out of your eye. We're not perfect. We all have wrongdoings. But verse 27 says, and whosoever do not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We had to sacrifice all those things. We promised that we will not go back to that old man. The old man that was buried, it stays behind. We just have to continue going forward and not turn back. I always remember last Sunday, who we are when, even before and after, who I was. And I'm sure that was really hard for my brother to stand behind this pulpit and say, and line up and have all the list of those things that he did. But that's every each of us. That happened to each of us. We all have a list. We all have an account to give when the time comes that we have to meet our Father in heaven. You'll be judged according to your words, according to your works. In Jeremiah 17, chapter 17, verse 12 and 13, a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. And they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of the living waters. Let not that happen to us, brothers and sisters. Once we have following him, we cannot turn back. I know my place, I know who I am, and I know who I was. I cannot deny the Lord, the fountain of the living waters. I cannot. What happened to the Israelites in the desert? They're wandering for 40 years because they denied all those miracles that he did through Moses in those days. And through this, it's just keep happening over and over. But who is behind all that? We all know it's Satan. He will confuse us. He will do what he can to lead us away from the truth. In John chapter 8, verse 5 to 7, it says, this is the people bringing this woman who was caught in adultery. And now Moses in the law command us that such shall be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they say, tempting him, that they might have accused him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and saying to them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast the stone at her. They all went away because they're all sinners. We're all sinners. But if we are in Christ, we have life. We have life. Perhaps just like it says in Jeremiah 7:13, it says and they that depart from me should be written in the earth. I was thinking when Jesus was written down in the ground in the dirt, it doesn't say anything in the scriptures what he was written down, but that brings me to my thought. All those who were accusing this lady, this woman, perhaps he written down in the earth. And because they forsake the Lord, they have no place in him. In Romans 6:11, it told us the sin is dead. But if we are in Christ, we have life. What a wonderful promise we have right there. So let not those things bring you down, discourage you. Because through life, we're going to have those things. But if we are in Christ, we will win. We will pull through. That is my understanding. That with Christ, we can win. With Christ, we'll make it to the end. You know, I just mentioned about my brother. And what does it say in the scriptures about when you come to Christ, your family are the first ones. They're going to start discouraging you. They're going to try to persecute you, even in your own family. You know, when Christ was with his brothers and his sisters, and when he was trying to teach, to preach his gospel, his own brothers told him not to go up to Israel to the feast of the leavened bread, because either they will feel ashamed of him for the things that he was doing, or they didn't believe that he was the Christ. But did that let him bother? I don't think so. He still went and he did it. You know, the scripture says that no prophet is welcome in his own town. So your own family should be ready for this. Your own family will try to bring you down, persecute you, telling you things, you're wasting your time. You should be doing some other things. So what is this that you don't want to be part of our family anymore? Or I don't want anything that has to do with drinking and gathering just to please ourselves. In Matthew 10:36, it says, and a man falls shall be day of his own household. Your own family shall bring you down. Your own family shall be mad at you for following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Romans 16:17 and 18, and now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offense contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. I will not let anybody separate me from the love of God, no matter what they say, no matter how much they offend me. I don't want to be a failure. I'm going to do what he called me to do, and I'm going to do it with pleasure. Even if sometimes I stand up here and I don't make sense. But that's how it is. God talks to us in a different way than perhaps, I always say this, he speaks to you through sermon, songs, and even conversations with your brothers. We have to lift up ourselves, support ourselves, encourage ourselves, pray for each other, all those things. That perhaps to others that are ignorant when it comes to the word of the Lord, they're like, what are you doing? They don't understand. I'm going to give you guys a testimony real quick. The other day, my truck, actually this truck broke. And the fuel filter was stuck. And Jesse knows, he's a mechanic, those four, the lines, the fuel lines, they go to the fuel filter, inside they have some kind of teeth that keeps the filter locked. And well, whoever changed that fuel filter, it was all damaged, they shoved it in so hard that those teeth were kind of curly or kind of stuck in the line. And it was this guy who's a Christian also, this mechanic, say, you know, I can get this out. He pulled that line so hard that he even broke the fuel filter, that I had to buy another one, which is no big deal, they're not that expensive. But he pulled it so hard, and he's like, I don't know what to do, we might have to cut the line. And I said, well, we can pray. And perhaps for a second he thought, like, are you kidding me? This thing is stuck, it's not coming out. One came out so easy, but the other one, but he didn't say that, so he's like, okay, I guess we can do that. So as he was working on it and pulling on that thing, I was praying next to him. And that line is just slide out. So easy, just like that. And so the two of us in his shop, we were glorifying God. That's how he works. Believe it or not, he blesses us right there. So now, you're going to deny that? You're going to deny those things you have experienced through your life as you following him? No, you can't. That's why it's right here in Romans. It says, mark them which the cause divisions and offense contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Avoid them in a way you don't have to hate them, but you don't have to be part of their lives, of their things that they do. You always have to be a good example. The Book of Mormon teaches not to put them in the side, but to welcome them and pray for them. 18, for they are such, serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceives the hearts of the simple. We can be tricked pretty easy if you don't know. If you put down your guard, you can be deceived so easy. In Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 11, it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. The scriptures speak for us. They speak for us for the things that we deal with. But because those things We should not let our heart get harder and harder and harder. No matter what we're going through, we should not let that happen. Or we will have our pay. And the First King, chapter 11, 1 to 3, it talks about how King Solomon, after God talking to him and put him in the throne, he went and do these things. They were not good in God's. He was not pleasing God. But it happened over and over again in those days. He had so many wives. He had so many wives, concubines and all that stuff. And that is how he started to falling away from the presence of the Lord. Because his heart was changing, was getting harder. He was getting involved with women that have a different beliefs and different gods. That he starts to believe in their gods and forget about the Lord God who created the heavens and the earth. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 to 14, Hebrews 3, 7 to 14, it says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the days of the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and say, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my heart and my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, what is called today. Lest any of you be hardened throughout the deceitfulness of sin, for we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast and to the end." There's a lot of stuff up there that will trick us. And that they might make it sound so good, so nice. For example, churches. You know, you see all these things, you see all these concerts. They how they worship, and some of those concerts are really, you know, they for them they're worshiping, they're having church, but it's so dark you couldn't even read your Bible. It's so dark. It's so dark. And, this was a comment from a comment that I read that these days they think that they. You know, the worshiping God is to go and have a concert and jump around and just worshiping that you don't find love, you don't find peace, you don't even feel this Holy Spirit there. It's just, like it says in the scriptures, they're just pleasing their valley. The valley, I don't know if I'm saying it right. Only what they want to hear, only want to follow, or only what they want to believe. Pick and choose. But we are partakers of Christ, the true living God. And none of this should let us confuse us, just like King Solomon, for getting himself involved with all these women. He lost everything, and he started following other gods. Did that bring him down, maybe? He got discouraged? Perhaps. Yeah. But we have our, we have God's, our God's ways. And we know those ways. So let us not turn away from God. And follow other ways. And just like Jonah was, after all, that he understand that you cannot hide from God, you cannot run away from God. He got a second chance. God called him again, and with joy he respond. He went. He went to do what God told him to do. Same for Peter. He was not only forgiven, but he was restored in his office, in the office that Christ called him. Isaiah 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Brother Ken, read John 10, 10:16 or 3:16 this morning about how much love God has for us. He loves us so much that as long as you come to him and looking for his forgiveness and repent, he forgives you. That is our God. We should not be afraid to come to him no matter what you have done. We all sinners, but we have a Father who says, you know, get up, shake out the dust and get up and keep going. I will hold you up. In Ephesians chapter 4, this is my last scripture. Ephesians 4, from 30 to 32, I'm going to read. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed into the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one to another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. We should always, we're not perfect, we're not always correct. We're going to bother people, we're going to bother others, they're going to bother us. But we should remember these words. We should remember that God told us that if you have love, you can endure everything, you can do anything. Persecution, discouragement, and all those things that we deal in life. So I pray that this message was good for you, and that it was a blessing for you, that you find something that it was used in your life. And I thank you for your time and for your attention.